And speaking of this kind of Heideggerian approach, one of the things we haven't talked a lot about here is the ways that the ideas that we're talking about are all related to, and I don't know if these are Rickert's words or if they're Heidegger's words, it's kind of a combination. It's hard to tell the difference sometimes of an ecological understanding of human flourishing.
Nice.
Let's just move towards understanding us as not just being, but being together, which I think is being with, being in the world. On page 15, Rickert gets into this. I'm just going to read at the bottom here. He says that the later Heidegger engages things and technology so as to suggest a profoundly ecological understanding of human flourishing. And this is the part I think is really interesting. One that tethers building, doing, and sociality to a dynamic sense of in-placed attunement. This reimagines human agency less as a form of potent mastery than as caretaking, shepherding, sparing, or cultivation. This idea of caretaking and shepherding and cultivation seems useful as we start to think about, well, we've already been talking about it. We've been talking about these producers who put so much work and care into their own work. But also I think it's reflective of the kinds of things that I think about as being useful in my own work. How do I make the rhetoric of my work powerful? Well, I really have to care. There has to be this care that goes into the stuff that I'm working on. But also with my students, I take this approach as well.
It also reminds me of Brian Eno, who once described his composing as a kind of gardening.
A gardener doesn't really work like that.
A sense of cultivating something, caring for it, getting down and thinking about what it means and what it means to you and what it can mean to other people. It starts to sound really...
An architect, at least in the traditional sense, is somebody who has an in-detail concept of the final result in their head. And their task is to control the rest of nature sufficiently to get that built. Nature being things like bricks and sites and builders and so on. Everything outside has to be subject to an effort of control. A gardener doesn't really work like that. But what I think about, I suppose my feeling about gardening, I suppose most people's feeling about gardening now, is that what one is doing is working in collaboration with the complex and unpredictable processes of nature. One is carefully constructing seeds or finding seeds, carefully planting them, and then letting them have their life. So, and that life isn't necessarily exactly what you'd envisage for them.
It starts to sound really important to think about ambient rhetoric this way.
Yeah, and we can take this idea into our classrooms. I mean, and this is the move to the composition classroom that we've all been waiting for.
not that we have to, but we are teachers, right? Let's go there.
And it's important. Just this idea of care. I think that one of the things that I try to help my students understand before they can make a an argument, before they can really get into some of the nitty gritty of producing well-composed essays, they've got to care about what they're writing about. And so
if we
can figure out ways of encouraging students or cultivating students around places, things, issues, whatever it might be, that they can generally start to care about, to put down roots in, to attune themselves with. I think that kind of work de-emphasizes the traditional product-oriented or even process-oriented approach that we take in our writing classrooms and puts it instead upon this idea of attunement and care.
And let me tell an example that makes me think of. I remember a student once who wanted to write an argument paper trying to convince other students to ride their bikes to campus, as a ecological... Isn't funny the word ecological coming up here, but you know what I mean. Save gas, blah blah blah. And as we were talking about it, I felt like none of the students' arguments were very convincing. And I kept saying, "Who do you think is really going to change their practices based on what you've said?" And finally, I asked her, "Well, do you ride your bike to campus?" And she said, "Well, no. It rains a lot. We're in Florida, of course." And had all these basic reasons that she hadn't even convinced herself. And when I thought of that, this way that I think using your phrase there, that the way that she wasn't attuned to what she cared about, but she also wasn't attuned to the larger larger situation going on here. It, really, that reminds me of where Rickert ends up in chapter 8. He tells this great story of these folks on Toronto Island who were resisting the plans to build a bridge so that cars could come onto this island that currently didn't have cars on it. And I feel like Rickert does this, for me, pretty amazing job of helping me see ambient rhetoric in action in a way that I wish I could have told my student then. Because here's what he said. He said that the Toronto Islanders, in a way that they somewhat did, but somewhat could have done better, they, quote, need to move from the idea of countering to what we might describe as enlivening, making their unique way of life real, palpable, and valuable to others and to themselves. Page 259. In other words, those folks living on Toronto Island, they didn't need classical argument. They didn't need to stand up in a courtroom and be like, okay, if I invent this well enough and arrange it well enough and use the right style and memorize and deliver it, then people will be convinced. Right. That just wasn't enough. They needed to let people know what the entire island was like, in what ways the island disclosed itself to them, in ways that affected what their lives were like, and how they lived there, and all of the complexities of what that means to live somewhere. And so if only I could have told my student that, hey, what are all of the complex ways that cars and bikes are wrapped up in the way that you live, the way that you enact your life as a student? Could you in some way invite people into that kind of living in an ambient sense, with attention to everything that you can find and everything that does disclose itself to you? Always knowing that you can't know everything, that there will always be some things that are withdrawing.